zone doesn't mean we're just doing nothing. They prayed. Amen. We often forget the importance of prayer in waiting on God. We get very impatient. I'd say most Americans probably pray once and then they say, well, I prayed, that should do it. Well, that doesn't necessarily cause it to do. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18. Amen. And I'm debating which version to read this out of. Luke chapter 18, and we'll start with verse 2. Let's go with the New Living Translation on this here. Luke chapter 18, verse 2, because I like one phrase of this, but anyhow, that's a little different. It says, there was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God or cared about people. So this guy was a judge that didn't care anything about God, didn't really care about any other people, basically just cared about himself and doing what he's supposed to do as a judge. Verse 3, a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in the dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. That's the phrase I thought was kind of funny. But you don't have to laugh, that's okay. But this woman is driving me crazy. And anything, and I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give you justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? In other words, God's saying here, you don't have to come to me begging. I want to make that clear. We don't ever go to God begging. Oh, God, 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 you know, if I prayed this once, I prayed this 1,000 times. Help, help, help. No, you better get a little bit more of that word in there, go along with your prayer. Amen. God, you said your word. You said you would meet my needs. Amen. Your word says that my children will come home to serve you. Your word says that I'm more than a conqueror. Your word, we start building ourselves up on the word, and we start praising that to God. God, you said this. 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 God, you said that so I could have it. Amen. And so we have to get like that. Amen. So we have different prayer requests that we are waiting on. And I know there's some here in the congregation that you're waiting on your kids to come back to Jesus. They're out floundering. They're out doing what they think they ought to be doing and messing their lives up. But you know what? You got a promise from God. If you brought them up in the house of the Lord, they'll not depart from it. Amen. You need to remind God about that they'll come on home, that they're coming home. God, I thank you. My kids are coming home to you. You start soaking that in prayer. You start lifting that up. You don't just give up. You just keep it before God. God, your word says that my children are going to serve you all the days of your life, that my children are going to love you. You just keep bringing those things up before the Lord. And he says here in this parable, hey, I get the attention. I hear you. Man. And we're not just pounding the bunkers of heaven just to be pounding it, but we got a prayer request that needs answered. So while I'm waiting, I'm praying. While I'm wanting something to happen, I'm praying. Amen. While I'm in patience, I'm praying. Amen. While I'm in faith, I'm praying. Can you guys see the importance of this? We just don't pray and then we just forget about it. We get in there and we keep digging in. We keep digging in. And the more we dig in about a subject and get more scriptures on it, the more we'll get in our heart. The more that'll get in here. And we won't have to have all those scriptures in front of us because we'll know them. Amen. greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Amen. And you'll start proclaiming that with those people at the job site, start rubbing your nerve the wrong way. Amen. Now, you won't be saying it right in front of them, of course, because we walk in love. Amen. But you'll be when you know, oh, greater is he that's in me. I can walk in love. God is my joy, is my strength, and I'm going to walk in his joy. I thank you, Father God, that I get an opportunity to minister to these folks every day, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm going to come into work with a smile today. I'm going to come in with a little fortitude, with a little strength, with a little bit of joy, with a little bit of God, so they'll have a little bit to go home with. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Billy Graham said this. I got a quote from Billy. I called him up. Heaven is full of answers no one's ever bothered to ask God. God's answers is ready. He's just waiting for our personal and persistent prayer. Amen. All right, now, so we know that when we get into this faith and patience and waiting for our prayer request, what is something else that we're doing? We know that we're going to pray. So my second point is they study. They didn't just sit there and not read the word. And it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 16, let's go to there out of the New Living Translation. Acts chapter 1, and let's look here at verse 16. And it says, brothers, he said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas. Now this here is Peter speaking, I believe. And he guided those who arrested Jesus. And then he predicted long ago in the Holy Spirit speaking through David. He predicted this long ago by the Holy Spirit speaking through David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. Judas had bought a field and the money received from the treachery, falling head first there. The body split open, spilling out his intestines. Man, that's a strong fall. 19. The news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place the name of the Field of Blood. Peter continued. This was written in the book of Psalms, where it says, let his home be desolate with no one living there. It also says, let someone else take his position. So as they're in the upper room, as they're up there with the 120, they're praying and they're studying. Amen. So when we're in this wait time, when we're in this zone that I've asked the Lord and I continually praise him and thank him for my prayer request getting answered, but I'm still going to study out. So they didn't waste time. They took advantage of the time that was down, that was waiting for the answer, and they found out more answers. They found out that, hey, this was supposed to happen. God didn't put that in Judas's heart, but that's how it happened. The scriptures got fulfilled that was proclaimed way back when. So it gave them understanding of what was going on, because I'm sure they were all thinking, why would Judas do this? Why would he do this? And not getting the clear answers, but it was prophesied by the Holy Spirit through David many, 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 many years earlier. Amen. Hallelujah. So they studied. Amen. And he looked. They didn't have the New Testament at that time, so they had to look in the Old Testament. Amen. They were getting ready to write the New Testament themselves. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I wrote this down here. I got another quote. MacArthur is his name. I think it must have been John MacArthur. Peter used the most compelling proof, scripture, to reassure the believers that Judas' defection and choice of the replacement were both in God's purpose. It had to happen. Could Judas made a choice on that? Yeah, but someone else would have stepped up. And so it had to happen. Boy, I'm glad it happened, because we have salvation today. We have healing today that Jesus went through. We have deliverance provided to us because of all that. Amen. Many times the answers we have to our questions and to our prayers is in the Word. Amen. But we so often don't go to the Word to find out our answers. We just go to ourselves. We don't go, and sometimes we ask somebody else that don't know anything either. And then you get yourself in a big mess. You get yourself confused by what the Word of God says. So it's best if you can get with maybe a strong believer. This is why OSL is so important. Getting yourself discipled is so important. Amen. Getting yourself educated in the things of God is so important. Why? So you're not tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine. But when you get discipled, you start understanding. This is why I read my Bible. This is why I pray. Amen. This is why I journal some things, because God's going to bring that back to me and I can look it up. Amen. Glory to God. You know, and I think I made mention of this last week. Sometimes when you buy something, it comes with instructions. And us being men, we don't like looking at the instructions all the way, and we don't do it properly, and you got to take it apart to ask to put this back. I remember one time me and my brother-in-law, we were putting together my father-in-law's barbecue. And he's very precise. It had to be right because we know our father-in-law. And we got done, and there's an extra part there. And I said, Clifford, what do you think this goes to? I don't know. I said, well, we might want to look at the instruction booklet, because Dad's going to say they don't just send out extra parts because they feel like it. It has a plan and it has a purpose. And so we looked at it and we saw, I forget what it was, but we had to take off two or three things to install that one little part that needed to be there so Dad would have a proper working barbecue. Amen. Hallelujah. You're welcome, Dad, by the way. But the problem, what got us all started on it, he didn't want to read the instructions. I don't like reading the instructions. I can build a house, but I don't want to read the instructions. Amen. So he said, had us do it. So, amen. So, anyway, so we bypass a lot of answers by not going to the source that the answers come from. Amen. That is to God and the Word of God. Amen. So we got to, while we're in this waiting zone, while we're in this time of, well, I prayed and I asked the Lord, we got to keep praying. And then we should just keep studying the Word of God so that we find out more information about what He's given to us in that area. Amen. Consult His instructions. Amen. When you consult His instructions, it'll help you out in your whole life. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Don't you want to divide the word of truth right? Amen. It takes time. It takes study. It takes preparation. It takes you deciding, I'm going to do it. It takes you deciding, hey, I'm going to do this. Amen. I usually get up early in the morning before I go anywhere, and I that's my little private time that I have for my devotion and just to seek God a little while and to praise Him and to thank Him and do these things. But, you know, every once in a while, if I allow Facebook to pop up there and say, hey, look what so-and-so just said, there goes an hour. And you got to guard your time with the Lord. So I had to say, no, I can do that some other time. I can do that later. Amen. And if not, you lose your time, because the devil will make it convenient that you never study the Word. You never have time to pray. You don't have time for His presence. But God was very good. He gave everybody who's ever been created 24 hours. He's given us all 24 hours in the day, and we got to budget that time. Amen. At least give Him the 10%. Amen. What would that be? 2 hours and 4 minutes? Or is that 2 minutes? 2 hours and 40 minutes? 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's 10%. Boy, thinking, well, I can't do that. That's what I like. 2 hours and 40 minutes. Amen. Well, break it down. I can give Him 15 minutes here. I can give Him 15 minutes at my lunch break. I can give Him 15 minutes when I get home from work if the kids aren't crazy. Man, when I'd get home from work, sometimes I had to be horse right then. Dad's home! Can you play horse? And Chelsea, our oldest daughter, she had one favorite doll when she was small, but everything was about a horse. Everything was horses. My little pony horse, my little everything horse, everything was about a horse. So when Dad came home, I had to imitate a horse. And she had to ride on my back. And she had to kick her legs. Faster, Dad, faster. Amen. Glory to God. She's got a great faith story about how she trusted God and believed God to get a horse. We didn't live in horse property. We lived in the city. Horses weren't allowed. Now, the block behind us, the horses were allowed. But where we lived, in our yard, would not accommodate a horse. So, I'll just go ahead and tell you. Guess I got started to it. Because she'd ask me, can we have a horse here? No, we can't have a horse here. And I like living here. And so she said, if we ever move to horse property, can we get a horse? I said, I don't know. Horses are expensive. And you have to. It's not just the horse. It's the feed. It's the corral. It's a, you know, it just adds up. And I said, I don't know. Myself, I don't want a horse. So I wasn't excited as she was. And so I said, I think I said to her, if we ever move to horse property, we'll have to look into it. So it wasn't. A few months later, we ended up moving. Guess what we moved to? Horse property. So Chelsea asked me, Dad, is this horse property? I said, actually it is, Chelsea. Can we get a horse? No, we can't get a horse. We don't have money to buy a horse. And when he takes a corral, it takes this and that and this thing. So as time went on, I was working up in, I think it was Victorville at that time, on a job. And I had this guy I was working with. He says, you know, I've been wanting to get a pool for my kids for a long time. And where we moved from, we had a Doughboy pool that we had taken down. I said, I got a Doughboy pool. And that thing, it just, I didn't want it no more. And I said, what do you got to trade for it? You know. I don't want to give you something without getting something. You know, I wasn't into sewing that day. And so he says, you know, it just popped out of his mouth. You need a horse corral? And I said, I don't, but my daughter does. So we got a trailer. I took the Doughboy pulled to his house. We loaded up the horse corral, brought it down to the house, and I set it there in the field behind our house. So one day Chelsea comes walking up to me, Dad, we'll never get a horse if we never put up that corral. And I knew this, but I was trying to avoid it, you know. And so anyway, I said, well, Chelsea, you're going to have to help me. So we went out there and we put up the corral, and it's kind of like a stop sign looking corral, and wired it all together and got it all stationary and not moving good. And so then every day we'd go pick her up at school and bring her home. And the first thing she'd look when she could see our house, she would look at that corral thinking there's going to be a horse there. A horse is going to appear there. And I kept telling her, honey, I don't have the money to buy a horse. I didn't tell her. I didn't want a horse anyway. I don't know, but anyhow. And so anyway, it wasn't too much long. This was like 7 acres of land we were on at that time. And I had a friend call me. He said, you know what? Can you help me out? I said, I don't know. Maybe so. He says, you know, I got Lucy, was the name of this horse he had for many years with their kids. And he says, you know what? I'm just kind of in a financial bind right now, and I really can't afford to feed her, and you got 7 acres she could feed on. And would you like to house Lucy for us for a while? And I said, well, I guess so, if we can figure out how to get her over here. He didn't have a horse trader. I didn't have a horse trader. Thank you, Jesus. So then we're working in the church one day, and I'm talking to the administrator. And he says, you know, I forget how the subject came up, but he had a horse trailer. So I thought, well, I cannot not do this for her. So I got the horse trailer. We went and got Lucy. We brought Lucy to the corral. Went and got some hay. Got ready to feed because you know how they eat. And of course, she ate all the grass that was in her corral right away. And then we take her out and walk her around too. But anyhow, so one day we did that, and it was early afternoon before the kids got out of school. My wife went to get the kids from school. And the first thing that Chelsea did, she looked over to the house, and she looked, and then she looked again. There's a horse! There's a horse! There's a horse! There's a horse! And so about that quarter mile or so coming around to the house where they could park, she was just saying, there's a horse! There's a horse! I got a horse! I got a horse! And then she got close. She recognized it because she'd been over to their house a lot of times. It's Lucy! It's Lucy! It's Lucy! And she was excited. Amen! Her faith with patience, never quitting. She didn't look up every scripture she could find about a horse, but she knew God would supply her horse somehow, some way. If it caused us to move into a 100-year-old falling down house, it didn't matter. And she got her horse. She was patient. She never gave up. She was positive the whole time. She never said, I'm not ever getting a horse. She never came to us and said, I'm not ever getting a horse, am I? Yeah, before she got the horse, right? Yeah, she went. We were at a yard sale. She had some money, and this saddle was like $20, wasn't it? And it was a kid-sized saddle. And she said, I'm buying this for my horse. And we said, you don't have a horse. I'm getting this for my horse. Give me my $20. So we did. We gave her the $20. She went and got the saddle from the yard sale. We brought it home. We put it up in a room there where it'd be safe and dry and that. And so she's just waiting. She's equipping herself. She's finding out what's necessary. Amen. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to run her faith, but I don't want a horse. But her faith prevailed. Amen. Glory to God. She never gave up. Was she patient? Yes. Was she anxious? Yes. But she never gave up on what God could do for her. Amen. That's just what faith can do. Faith, you might say, well, that's faith of a child. That's faith of anyone who will believe God. We have to learn to believe God. Amen. Glory to God. So when you're in this time of prayer and you haven't seen it, you still got stuff you can do. You can soak it in prayer. Amen. And you can working about it. You can study. And that's my third point. You can work during this time. Let's look at Acts 1, verse 21, since you all turned your pages, I'll make you wait. I mean, I'll wait for you. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness of his resurrection. And they purposed Joseph, called Barnabas, and who surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show us these two which is chosen to take a part in the ministry of the apostle from which Judas transgressed, transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered the 11th apostle. Amen. You might be saying, that was the first church business meeting. Amen. That's what they did. They're in the upper room, They're waiting to receive the promise that was sent from the Lord that said, if you go, I'm going to give you this here. But while they're waiting, they're not wasting time by not thinking, well, what can I do? They knew what to do. They prayed, they studied, and they worked. Amen. The Bible says, occupy till he comes. Amen. So we're not supposed to just sit idle until I get this promise filled. Amen. We do things other than that. We go forth and do what the Lord has us to do. Amen. Glory to God. There were two requirements back then on that, and they were required. Requirements was they had to be part of Jesus' earthly ministry, and they had to be witness at his ascension. And they cast lots. You might say, well, why did they cast lots? Well, they hadn't got the Holy Spirit yet. See, when we get the Holy Spirit, we don't have to cast lots. We don't have to set out fleeces. Amen. Because we have the Holy Spirit, says that he will lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen. You should hate fleeces to pieces. Amen. Because sometimes they'll do you right and sometimes they'll do you wrong. It's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is right all the time. Amen. Glory to God. Back then, that's how they did things, but now it changed after we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit came in, and we don't have to pull lots anymore. We don't have to set out fleeces to find out what to do. We just ask him personally. Amen. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. So they prayed, they studied, they took care of business. Amen. You know, sometimes when you're in a when we were in this building project, you know, there was times we had to wait patiently. Man, when we was getting the architect work done, we had to wait patiently. And when we got that done, we had to wait patiently for the city to look at it and reject it and look at it again and send it goes back three or four times because they find little things they don't want necessarily. And so it has to be changed. You have to learn how to work patiently. But once you get the okay, amen, you can start work. Amen. Glory to God. So we have to learn of how to do some things. Jesus will do what he does, but we got to do our part. And I wrote down a few examples of this. He told them to fill the pots at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Remember, he told the workers, go fill the pots. Then he could do what he does. Amen. He told the apostles to go let down your nets in the water. And when they did that, he could do what he does. He filled the nets. He told the people to remove the rock in front of Lazarus' tomb. And when they did that, he did what he does. Amen. God always expects us to do our best, and he'll do the rest. Amen. Are we doing our best for the Lord so he can do the rest? Glory to God. Amen. David, remember King David? He wanted to build the temple so bad, but God said, no, you're not building the temple. You have been in too many wars and you have fought too many things. You are not building the temple. But you know what he did? He started gathering materials so his son Solomon could build that temple. So Solomon would have a good start on all the materials that were needed. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to wait. We don't like that, but sometimes we do. Amen. I know a lot of the parents here, and sometimes they make their children wait patiently because it's not that appointed time yet. See, the first time I heard I was going to Disneyland, I thought, well, why can't we go today? It wasn't the appointed time. But as a child, it was a little bit hard to understand that. Why do I have to wait till this day? Well, that's when mom and dad get off or whatever the case may be. And so teaching your kids to wait patiently to see God work is a virtue you need to instill in them. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we need to spend time with God in prayer. When we're waiting, we don't give up. when we're waiting, when we prayed, it doesn't mean that we're done praying about it. We're just soaking it in prayer. We're not begging God. We're not saying, oh, blah, blah, blah. We're just saying, Lord, I thank you that your word set forth. You placed this on my heart. And I thank you, Father God, that I'm going to see the manifestation of it. You said I could have it, and so it be. So it be, or so it be. Amen. So study the Word of God, the Life Manual, and you'll find out more about your situation. A lot of times I've had people say, you know what, Pastor, you answered some questions for me today in service. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit bringing some answers to you. Amen. So you have to continually study to find out these answers God wants you to have in the middle of your waiting when you're in faith and patience. Amen. What is the next step? We got steps to do. We don't have to get, because if you don't doing something, you're going to start complaining about it. You're going to start downgrading what God can do. And let me tell you what, God don't work in confusion, and he don't work in doubt and unbelief, but he will work in faith if you allow him to do it. Amen. So speak faith-filled words. Amen. Waiting for God doesn't mean sitting around doing nothing. It means you can do. Means you can do something. I get an opportunity to pray about this some more. I get an opportunity to study the word out of this some more. I get the opportunity to work on this some more. Amen. I got this quote from someone. It means doing what we can, while we can, as the best we can. Amen. So be careful not to get ahead of God. I'm sure this is the way God would answer this prayer. I'm sure this is the answer. And sometimes we get ourselves ahead of God instead of waiting in faith and in patience and finding out what to do while you're in that time of transition from prayer to manifestation. You have it because you prayed for it in faith. Faith says, I have it now. We're not doubting that at all. Faith says, I have it now, but I'm getting the manifestation. I'm getting stronger. That manifestation's coming. Amen. The manifestation, this building getting paid off, is getting stronger. It's getting stronger each and every day. I feel something coming up. It's getting stronger. This place is getting paid off. Amen. To free us up to do more of the Lord's work. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I see us going out and doing more in our community, more in the world, because we go from the river to the world. Glory to God. We don't just sit here and just come to church on Sunday. We're active in our community doing the works of Jesus. Amen. We're active doing the works of Jesus in other countries. We're active doing what God has us to do. Amen. Because we're not going to be a church that just sits idle and just comes here once a week to get blessed or on Wednesdays and get blessed. No, we're going to be an active church doing the Word of God, taking it from here to where you live to the nations. Amen? Hallelujah. So, while we're in this time, I feel like I'm yelling. Am I yelling? Okay, good. But while we're in this time of transition, this time from prayer to manifestation can be a wait time. From faith and having patience, you can pray about it. Amen. Study about it. And you might be studying some other things, and you'll get revelation. Amen. You might get revelation of something you won't even have to pray about later. That makes sense. Amen. Hallelujah. And you work while you're doing it. Don't stop everything because you hadn't got your manifestation. You keep plugging in. You keep going forward. Amen. You keep doing the things of God. Amen. You keep doing. And one day you're going to see this manifestation hit you. And you say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you never start believing God to heal your headache, how are you going to believe him to heal something serious that comes up? Amen. Start trusting him now on some little things. Lord, I got this little bill came in. I thank you, Lord, for the extra money to pay that and not take it out of my budget. Amen. See him work. Amen. We got all kinds of testimonies of people lining themselves up to the Word of God in tithing and giving. Man, it just starts flooding in. starts going forth. Amen. So line yourself up with the word and realize that sometimes when we pray, we have to wait, but it doesn't mean we don't do anything, because we're getting what we prayed for, right? If it lines up to the word of God, we can have it. It's ours. Amen. But sometimes there is a wait there. Ricky said, I could have a new car. Well, sometimes there's a wait there between you praying about it and you receiving it. So thank you, Lord. You said I could have good things. You said you want to provide for my family. I thank you, Father God, that you've given me finances to get this new car, Father God, or a better car, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're supplying more income to my household some way. Another. I don't see it, Lord, but I know you got it there. Amen. You start praying the will of God through his word. Amen. And boy, you know what? It just starts building you up, keeping you strong. Hallelujah. So we pray. We believe, we receive. Don't get me wrong. We believe, we receive. But there's that time sometimes between when we pray till it manifestates. Manifest, not manifestate. Manifest. We stay in faith. We're patient. And we're working. We're getting things done. Amen. Just as Chelsea was preparing for her horse. Amen. Glory to God. She prepared. She kept thinking about it. Kept talking about it. Kept doing it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. She let me know, we're getting low on hay, Dad. Got to get hay. Okay, dear. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to prepare for the manifestation. Amen. Glory to God. Trust this helped you today. It helped me getting it ready. Amen. So if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's time to accept him. It's time to quit making excuses for the will of God in your life. It's time to accept him. It's time to quit running from him, but run to him. And maybe you're here today and you think, well, I don't know, this is a rough decision. Well, let me tell you what, the decisions that you've been making hadn't been working out that good. Let's turn them over to Jesus. Let him be your decision maker. Amen. So if that's you today, and you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to raise your hand, because I want to pray with you real quickly here. I want to pray with you that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is that you this morning? Is that you? No better time to come to Jesus than right now, to accept him as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm just going to pray for you guys here real quick. All of us are sitting here. Father, we just thank you for this day that we could come into your house and worship you, magnify you, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that you place things on our heart to trust you for, to believe you for. And you put things on our heart to ask you for. And Lord, when we ask, Lord, we're asking in faith and patience. But we're not sitting idle till we receive. We're working it. We're going to work the word. We're going to pray about it. We're going to dig out things in the word about it, Lord. And we're going to work and do your work. And then we're going to see the manifestation.